Welcome to the University of Michigan Press podcast, featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors.
World of Warcraft rapidly became one of the most popular online world games on the planet, amassing 11.5 million subscribers, officially making it an online community of gamers that had more inhabitants than the state of Ohio and was almost twice as populous as Scotland. It's a massively multiplayer online game, or MMO in gamer jargon, where each person controls a single character inside a virtual world, interacting with other people's characters and computer-controlled monsters, quest givers, and merchants. Bonnie Nardi has given us a fresh look not only at World of Warcraft, but at the field of game studies as a whole. One of the first in-depth studies of a game that has become an icon of digital culture, My Life as a Night Elf Priest will capture the interest of both the gamer and the ethnographer. Bonnie A. Nardi is an anthropologist by training and a professor in the Department of Informatics in the Donald Bren School of Information and Computer Sciences at the University of California, Irvine. Her research focus is the social implications of digital technologies. She is the author of A Small Matter of Programming, Perspectives on End-User Computing, and the co-author of Information Ecologies, Using Technology with Heart, and Acting with Technology, Activity Theory and Interaction Design. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
So, for those unfamiliar with massively multiplayer online world games, or MMOs, explain briefly how they work.
Well, what you see when you log into your computer is a beautiful graphical world, and it's colorful, and there's lots of interesting things to look at, and you have an avatar, which is a character, and you move your avatar through the 3D world, and there are lots of different activities in the game, but that's basically what you see. In World of Warcraft, which is what I'll mostly talk about because that's what I'm familiar with, you have quests, which are like little mini-games, and typically you slay monsters and do kind of, you know, typical video game activities. But there's also lots of other things to do, like crafting and buying and selling things at the auction house, and just socializing. So one of the things that's interesting about these worlds is that they're very varied and there's lots of stuff to do.
Okay, so what role do the games play in the lives of those who play them?
Well, that's a really, really big question because so many people play these games. And again, I'm going to kind of restrict myself to World of Warcraft because it's hard to generalize across games because they're really variable. There are lots of different reasons for playing. So in interviewing people about World of Warcraft, some of the things that came up were that they like the challenge, they like the graphics, and they really like the social context. So there's usually, if you want to play in a social way, there's always somebody around, and sometimes you just play with them for a few minutes, and sometimes you join a guild, which is like a club, and you can actually spend quite a lot of time with them. So people, again, like this variability, and they went to the game because you kind of never know what's going to happen when you log in, and that makes it interesting because there's other people there.
So how do people relate to each other in-game that's the same or different as in real life?
Yeah, that's another really big question. And again, the answer is it really, really varies. So a lot of people start playing these games with friends and family. So the game becomes an extension of existing relationships. And, you know, you're pretty much going to treat people in-game the way you do out-of-game. Now, in other contexts in the game, like the battlegrounds in World of Warcraft, where you're thrown in with a group of people who you don't know and you will not see again, there's a much lower level of accountability, and you see a lot of bad behavior in battlegrounds. People kind of dissing each other and using bad language and not really playing the game, not taking it seriously. And so that's kind of one extreme. And then the other extreme is you're in a guild. This is the club that you belong to, people to whom you do have accountability, you have obligations, you are going to see them again. And here you get behaviors that I think are much more like what you see in everyday life. And then in between, there's a kind of interesting space where you have what I call lightweight relationships, where there are people that you don't know in real life, but you may see them in your guild often when you log in. And they're not really like real-life friends, but they're people you really enjoy and that you get to know, at least within the context of the game. And they're very relaxing, kind of restorative relationships, precisely because you don't have big obligations to these people. And so it makes it kind of a really sort of relaxing place to hang out with people. And that's another interesting way that people relate to each other in the game that's a little bit different than some of what we have in real life, although it's a little bit like what we used to have with the corner bar or the beauty salon or the weekly bingo games where people kind of just went to relax and it was pretty unserious stuff. But we don't have those things so much in our culture now, and they seem to be kind of being recreated inside virtual worlds.
Okay, so what cultural differences did you note in your studies of Warcraft players in different countries?
Well, I've only done studies in North America and China, so I need to restrict my comments to those two places. The big thing I discovered when I went to China was that play in China is very similar to play in North America. So people like World of Warcraft for the same reasons they like it here, the challenge and the sociability and the stimulus of the graphics. And those things were all quite similar. So I want to really get that point across because often people think, oh, it must be really different to play in China. And I think there's a really foundational reason here, which is that the game was designed to produce those experiences. And I guess you can say it's a successful game because it does produce those experiences across cultures. Now, having said that, there certainly were some differences. So in China, people play in internet cafes. So you're almost always sitting next to someone, you know, maybe you don't know them, maybe you get to meet them in the cafe, or your friends come in, or people from the neighborhood come in. So it's definitely a crossover kind of experience where some of it's virtual and some of it's real. And that's less true in North America. So we do have these cafes, but typically people play in their homes. So that's a big difference. Another kind of fun difference was that in North America, a lot of males play female characters because they like the way they look. And this came out in the interviews. I asked a lot about this. And I expected to see the same thing in China, but in China, there is this concept of ladyboy. And if you are a male and you choose a female character, you're called a ladyboy, and it's not a compliment. And so people don't like to have this kind of derogatory term thrown at them. So men tend not to play female characters there. So I thought that was interesting. And if I went back, I would dig a little bit deeper about what that really means.
What was the most surprising thing you noted in your time spent studying the social structures in-game?
Well, I think I alluded to it earlier, the great range of relationships that are sustained in the game, everything from, I'll never see you again, but we're on this team together, so let's try to have a little fun, all the way to people, you know, meeting their future spouse. So actually, I think WoW is a great place for girls to go to find guys, because there's so many guys there. And at least you know you have something in common. So, and then there's a lot in between where you might be playing with family and friends. You might be playing with people who are only your online friends. And that's a pretty big span. That's a pretty big span. And the fact that the game has a lot of mechanics to support those relations, I find really, really interesting. And I talk in my book about what those mechanics are.
Thank you so much, Bonnie, for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
We have been speaking with Bonnie Nardi, author of My Life as a Night Elf Priest, an anthropological account of World of Warcraft. To learn more about our books, visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press, all rights reserved.